The Narcolepsy Nerd Alert series invites listeners to dive deeper into specific topics relevant to living with narcolepsy. For more on this topic, please check out our corresponding toolkit, available for free on our website to download, print, and share. The link to the toolkit and other Narcolepsy Nerd Alert topics is in the show notes, or you can go to project-sleep.com. Welcome to Project Sleep's podcast. Project Sleep is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to raising awareness and advocating for sleep health, sleep equity, and sleep disorders. I'm your host, Julie Flygar. We're so glad you're here as we work together towards making sleep cool. On this podcast, all guests express their own opinions. While medical diagnoses and treatment options are discussed for educational purposes, this information should not be taken as medical advice. Each person's experience is so unique, which is why it's so important to always consult your own medical team when making decisions about your own health. If you haven't done so yet, please hit the subscribe button so you never miss a Project Sleep podcast episode. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a rating or review wherever you listen so that we can reach more listeners and raise more awareness. Today, we're really excited to have a very special broadcast on narcolepsy and art, the intersection between creativity and a journey living with narcolepsy. So I'm super excited to have this discussion. So we're going to have some really amazing guests and artists here with us today. Do you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourself really quickly, starting with Ulrika?
Hi, I'm from Sweden. It's not really true. I'm from Germany, but I'm living in Sweden, north of Stockholm, since 16 years. It's 1900 here. That means 7 in the evening. It's pretty dark and cold.
Well, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Sweden.
Hi, I'm from Tennessee. I'm originally from Florida. It's lunchtime here, so.
Very cool. Thanks for being here. Shu is not with us in person, but Shu is in Japan, and we're really excited to share about his art. Next, Jonathan.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Correa. I'm in Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. Sorry, Ulrika, that it's unpleasant there. It's pretty warm and sunny here. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jonathan. We also have Dana's art that we'll share today from Israel, but she's not with us in person today. And then we have Jaden.
Hello. So I'm Jaden. I'm from Oklahoma, and it's about lunchtime, and the weather's been crazy. We've had like 15 tornadoes around the state, so.
Oh my goodness, that's scary. All right, well, thank you guys so much for being here. We're gonna go ahead and get started sharing some different artworks. We've asked each of our featured artists today to share one piece, which I imagine is even in itself kind of challenging, maybe to choose one piece to share. So we gave them a tough job, and we're gonna go ahead and start with Shu. Shu Holike lives in Japan and is a freelance designer, web engineer, and digital art director. He creates glitch art using digital photography and an app called Glitche, as well as another app and using his own effects through Photoshop. His work expresses the specific feelings of narcolepsy and hypersomnia, and this piece represents fear of memories being sliced out. It also expresses the anxiety of shaking vision, distorted sounds, and feeling uncomfortable under the gaze of others. Shu says, "I feel that the malfunction caused by this disruption of electrical signals, which was a common abnormality in old machines, is very similar to my narcolepsy. Recently, I found that creepy sounds like analog synth, electronic musical instruments like Moog or Buchla or distorted guitar might be resonating with signals in my brain. I have listened to the industrial rock band Nine Inch Nails since I was a teenager, and my works are inspired by their music. Other artists, graphic designers, and film directors who inspire me are Rob Sheridan, Russell Mills, David Carson, and David Fincher. Shu is a member of the Japanese Narcolepsy Association and hopes to use his art to raise awareness of narcolepsy in Japan. And you can see more of his work and narcolepsy awareness efforts on Instagram." Just such a cool piece. It just really strikes me and really resonates as a fellow person with narcolepsy and a major art appreciator. So thank you, Shu, for sharing. All right, Ulrika, you want to go ahead and share about your piece?
Yes, the art piece I chose for today's podcast is one of 30 staged photographies, which I named My Beautiful Nightmares. The works cover the borderline between dream and reality. And as you might guess, it's a project on hypnagogic hallucinations and sleep paralysis. Before I continue, I really need to highlight the previous podcast you had on this topic about hypnagogic hallucinations. It was amazing for me to hear the three speakers describing what I until now only could show in images. I have this barrier inside. I have in fact never ever told anyone in 12 and a half years about the content of my hallucinations. When narcolepsy came into my life, it was like being bitten by a poisonous spider. It was so sudden and I was just so terrified and very confused. I was 38 years old, two small children. I had two jobs at the same time, and previously I lived in Shanghai and before that in India. And my daughter is born in Bombay, you know, this whole life, and this just didn't fit in. It kind of, my world collapsed. And I had never ever heard about narcolepsy before. And my doctor apparently neither. So I lived with the wrong medical diagnosis for a very long time. When I finally diagnosed with type 1, the damage was kind of done. I was an insecure people with shame. I lost trust in everything, in my body and relations, and of course in authorities. It's been some years and quite some work, but I got my stability back. And if you're guessing now how, I bet you're wrong, because it's the elephant. He gives me everything, strength and belief and peaceful moments. So in my art, and maybe you see here at the back in my room, the elephant is my master motive and he's everywhere. I wish you could come and see my studio. I generally love to create beautiful, charming and cute images, and I have the brightest colors, rainbow and coral reef all over. But I'm also of an imaginary and experimental kind. And that brings me back to this project. 2 years ago, there was this artist call, and the question was how you would interpret a border or borderline. And I immediately visualized this borderline between dream and reality, between sleep and wakefulness. And it was completely clear. I had the whole project done in my head within one day. But what I did, I asked my kids for items, teddy bears and dolls and key rings and all kinds of things, plastic jewelry. And then I started to work for about 6 weeks. I built sculptures. They were uneasy, but they were also beautiful. I included wooden hands, which I styled, and makeup dolls and masks. And in the end, and to meet the exhibition requirements, I photographed the scenes and I printed them on aluminium sheets. So what you see in my staged photographs is the result of the process. And this artwork may create feelings of uneasiness, and this is intended, of course. But what is most important for me, it's not the result, but the process itself. The process itself changed a lot because some of the beasts, I say, went on a sabbatical. And you won't believe it, they have not come back.
Wow, Ulrika, this is just so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Thank you very much.
The elephant. I want to see some of this coral bright art too. That sounds really amazing as well. All right, we'll have time for more discussion after. So we're just going to continue here. Next, we have Silence Hand. Silence Hands is a mother of two and a multidisciplinary artist from Tennessee. She was diagnosed with type 1 narcolepsy with cataplexy at age 35 and wishes to motivate others to listen closely to what their bodies are telling them. She's also a speaker with Project Sleep's Rising Voices program, where Silence shares her experience with others to improve awareness of narcolepsy and hopes to undo misconceptions of this neurological condition. Silence, share about the piece here.
Usually for me, creating a piece is very playful. I like to make a lot of revisions of things, photograph, go back, play. And this is the first beginning of a series that I'm doing that kind of intentionally involves narcolepsy. I think a lot of my work, until I was diagnosed and I kind of looked back through my algorithm, so to speak, I realized there was a lot of components of my experiences with narcolepsy. So now I'm taking it slow and I'm rebuilding new art. And this piece has taken me about 5 months to create because it arrives with my shipment of treatment. So it's going to keep growing and growing. I wanted to photograph it in the space where I work most, my kitchen. I love to cook. So it's really important to showcase it here.
And I know exactly what you mean about your shipment of medicine because I think I get the same shipment. But can you just point out where that is in the art?
That is the art. The sculpture itself is the packing. So each month I get two pieces and I have to wait another month to get two more pieces. And in a couple of years, maybe I'll have something, you know, large enough to put in a gallery space. So this is going to continue to grow. And I think that's the most interesting part of it is as my brain rewires, my piece grows. And it's this interesting relationship that is going on now with my art intentionally. So
did you choose the colors, you know, how you've, I guess, painted those intentional at all? Or
yes, that's the color of the sun. So
oh, I love it. I'm just a little bit afraid what happens when you, if you were ever to be on, like I've been on treatment for 15 years, it might get quite big.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is like most of my work was very big. So it's been new to work so slowly and to, you know, have something so small. But I'm really excited to see like as it grows, like what the process is. I mean, this is going to change and change and change. And you kind of got to trust the art and see where it takes you.
That is so cool. And then for you wearing blue, is that symbolic of anything or?
So there was a big discussion on this, blue or yellow. I originally did yellow and I did a poll. And it's created quite the hot debate between age brackets, which I thought was really interesting. But I thought, you know, blue is a very sleepy color. It's very, like, you know, they paint hospitals blue. It's very calming. And so this treatment is what charges me. So it's not a part of me, but it is a component of me. So I wanted to make myself separate.
Yeah. And did you do that poll on Instagram?
No. Oh. I have a lot of friends that I speak to, old and young. And it was funny, the older group said blue because of the contrast and the younger group said yellow. So
that's funny. Well, then you kind of know both are good. I somewhat differently, but when I was trying to come up with a name for my book, I pulled friends and people had really different opinions, which made it a little bit more confusing. I was hoping everyone would agree. There'd be one standout, but then it made me feel like, well, you know, different things for different people sometimes resonate differently. All right, Jonathan. Jonathan Correa is a photography hobbyist and outdoor enthusiast. He was diagnosed with narcolepsy in 2014, more than 10 years after his initial symptoms. Jonathan is a lifelong resident of the Shenandoah, I think, Valley in Virginia. Share about your piece. And I think it has a really cool name too, doesn't it?
Yes, this is Dream Lake. On World Narcolepsy Day, I always try to do a special hike or a trip. And this year, I believe this was in 21, the weather was nasty. I couldn't go outdoors. So I went to a place nearby called Luray Caverns. And I had been there several years before, but I didn't remember everything. But I took all my photography gear just in case. And I came across this feature called Dream Lake I had completely forgotten about, but ended up being perfect. And I didn't know in such a low light situation how it was going to turn out. And with film, you don't have any way of knowing until you develop it. So it was kind of a scary process. spending all the time I did trying to get it just right, trying to get the composition perfect, or right for me anyway. And I was pretty pleased with how it turned out. What is it that, I can't remember now on the spot whether it's stalagmites or stalactites that hang from the ceiling. But it's a reflection. Of course, it's a water feature. So you've got a reflection underneath.
It's so cool.
But I was thinking about this photo. Actually, I thought about you when I was trying to find my shirt. I have my Care for Rare shirt with my zebra. I saw your panda socks yesterday. But I thought about black and white in particular, how odd it is. I guess the correlation with the zebra and the interest in black and white photography in particular. And then I realized I don't even really think of it when I'm shooting. I don't even think of it in black and white. Even when I develop it, I'm thinking about it in colors still, because I mean, you're compensating for all the colors with filters. The light is interacting with all the different colors. So even filming black and white, still it feels colorful. You can sense all the tones still.
Were you always into photography, or do you think, you know, did your narcolepsy journey impact that at all? Or,
well, I have always been interested, I guess since high school, been interested in photography, and then slowly evolved from digital to the film. But I don't know that I really, that my narcolepsy, at least not consciously, that it affects my work. I should say that I'm not consciously thinking of it in terms of what I'm photographing, or, you know, that I guess it's not inspiring it necessarily, but it certainly affects it in a big way, because a lot of these locations, a lot of the shoots that I do it's really time consuming. They're most of the time all day shoots, and it's very patient. You have to be patient, especially with the film. So it really affects my narcolepsy when you have an all day shoot, and especially when you're in a location that's pretty secluded and you don't have the opportunity to take a nap, or you've got a long day, you've had an early morning or something. It's really had I really feel the connection with my narcolepsy in that sense.
Do you think being out in nature is part of something that you value?
Oh, definitely. It's really for me kind of a spiritual experience. It's pretty powerful, especially some of these scenes right here, just in my backyard, that some people might go their whole lives not even realizing are there.
You're inspiring me to get out more in the California. There's so much beauty all around us, and so I need to get out more. I might not do the film photography, but.
And one of my biggest inspirations is Ansel Adams, and seeing all of his work in California and the grandeur of the scenery out there is pretty special.
Yeah, you have to come visit.
Yeah.
Well, next we have Jaden. Jaden Rowland is an art major at Oklahoma Community College who was diagnosed with type 1 narcolepsy with cataplexy at age 15 and has been raising awareness ever since. As an artist and speaker with Project Sleep's Rising Voices program, Jaden conveys the struggles of not being taken seriously, achieving a diagnosis, and their ongoing battle with depression and self-acceptance. Jaden, we're so excited to have you. Share.
Okay, so when I developed narcolepsy at the age of 15, I believe that my art became more than just a talent. It became sort of like an outlet for self-expression, art therapy, and a sort of like a coping mechanism. So now I want to utilize it to reflect my deepest and innermost emotions, as well as my personal struggle with narcolepsy. And this particular comic, I'm in college right now, and it just showcases a lot of the struggles that can happen, you know, day to day, trying to make sure you get all the work done. And so for my future of my art, as I gain more knowledge through the courses in college, I'm gradually beginning to build more of like a storyline. I am to create a graphic novel and eventually an animated film that rises to the level of visual storytelling of Studio Ghibli. That may sound like an ambitious goal, and maybe it is, but I've been wanting to convey this idea for a long time. It will focus on my struggles with narcolepsy, the uncertainty of reality between the dream realm and the waking world, depression, and most of all, it's going to be like through the rose-colored lens of a magical girl-inspired worldview, which relates to anime, which you can see in the background. So, and I also love a bunch of pastel colors, so it's just going to be cutesy, but kind of like with a more serious overtone, you know.
Oh my gosh, I think that's so amazing, Jaden. I feel like there are so many aspects of narcolepsy that are a little fantastical, or, you know, that being able to access that realm is so cool. And visually, there's so much you could do. I also just want to thank you for like being vulnerable, talking about things like depression. And I think I read about storytelling all the time because I'm kind of obsessed with it. Big story nerd. And they always really talk about how, you know, those vulnerabilities, the things that we don't always talk about, those are the things that really do connect us all. And so being really specific and sharing your experience, it like, that's really what so many people will find themselves in, that even if they don't have narcolepsy, you know? So yeah. I don't think that it's too ambitious. You're dreamers and we got to make those dreams come true. So we are cheering big time for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. You said that you were in the realm of something.
Oh,
I can't.
It's so I have a lot of so my dreams are extremely realistic. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between reality and the dream realm because I feel everything that you know the waking realm is like, you know, all the senses and stuff, and even pain at times. It's crazy. So yeah, I've had some crazy dreams. So I wanted to incorporate that into, like I said, a Studio Ghibli kind of like inspired story that's just like in the dream realm, mostly like crossing between both.
Is that what Studio Ghibli is?
No, Studio Ghibli is a animation studio that has a lot of different films that are animated, but the general like vibe of it is just magical and just like this entire magical journey in most, you know, most of the films. So.
Sounds perfect. Perfect fit. Thank you for educating me too. This is really cool. All right. Let's see. Oh, next we have Dana's piece. Dana Harrell lives in Israel with her husband and two children. She is a developmental psychologist and an artist. She was diagnosed with type 1 narcolepsy with cataplexy at age 34 after living with symptoms since she was 18. Her artwork primarily involves paper craft, scrapbooking, and mixed media. This piece represents the two types of narcolepsy, type 1 narcolepsy with cataplexy and type 2 narcolepsy without cataplexy. On the left side of Dana's piece, cataplexy and the other symptoms related to REM stage sleep. A cheerful, happy, excited little girl enjoys her colorful life. She is climbing high, laughing, playing without fear, giving free rein to her emotions, ignoring demons and all the warning signs that come from all over. Watch out, little girl. You are playing roulette. She knows she is taking a risk, and all her joy and laughter and emotion can in one moment make the whole celebration end. I just personally love the, you know, I thought that I heard you laughing. Oof, just haunts me every time. On the right side, boredom and the complex relationship of sleep and wakefulness. The man is a silhouette in the dark, with circuits all over his body. The dream, D-R-E-A-M, falls apart, and the puzzle pieces don't fit together anymore. The proper connection between sleep and wakefulness has been lost. The man is handcuffed. He feels bound. In between, the rain drops. The rain doesn't stop. The umbrella is already in tears. The ghost is sitting on his shoulder and doesn't want to leave. Some bright stars and moon give some light, and in some of the cracks are written the symptoms that characterize his disorder. Such a powerful piece, and thank you so much to Dana in Israel for sharing this with us. Lastly, we have Solomon Briggs. We're really excited to include a piece of his art today as well. Solomon is a patient advocate, author, and artist. He is also a skateboarder, snowboarder, and ice hockey player, and cooks accordingly for the strict allergies he lives with. He talks about his narcolepsy experience frequently on social media, and has published several books about his life with type 1 narcolepsy and other invisible illnesses. They're available on Amazon under the name Narcoplexic, a combination of the terms narcolepsy and cataplexy. Solomon says about this piece, "My art is directly inspired by the broken sleep that I live with and the abstract realm I must live in. I try hard to express and portray actual elements of living with the difficult, complex, rare, and invisible disease, type 1 narcolepsy, plus two other sleep disorders. This piece portrays both excessive daytime sleepiness and mild or moderate cataplexy." This is really powerful. I have a piece of Solomon's art myself here at my house. So thank you to Solomon for sharing this piece.
Are you facing sleep issues or a sleep disorder? Project Sleep is now excited to have the Sleep Helpline, a nonprofit-led free national helpline providing personalized support and resources. You can reach out today to speak with a compassionate resource specialist who will listen and help provide accurate sleep disorders information, resources to help navigate daily living and the healthcare landscape, and connect you with a certified sleep center and patient support organizations. Contact the Sleep Helpline at 1-800-819-2043 or by filling out a form on our website at project-sleep.com.
So there's just so many different aspects of narcolepsy that, you know, I think you guys have explored through your art. You know, there are so many aspects to living with narcolepsy that it can be sort of overwhelming to even when someone asks, like, what is it like to live with narcolepsy? Oh my God, it's like, there's so many things come to mind. Where do you even start? And then kind of like, I don't know. So that's why, of course, that we've developed Rising Voices and trying to give people structure to sharing their story via presentation. But, you know, with art, especially visual arts, which is, we did, you know, when we were thinking about this broadcast, we even did think, well, should we go further? Should we include film and some different things? And we kind of ended up going more with just visual art for this. But so if you think about visuals, do you think there are aspects of narcolepsy that really lend themselves very easily to visual representations? And are there other areas that seem more challenging or, you know, you almost kind of want to figure out a way to visually represent? Like for me as a writer, I know that talking about writing scenes about like the sleepiness and even the cataplexy came somewhat naturally to me, but trying to get across my hypnagogic hallucinations felt more challenging in a written format. So I don't know if you guys feel like any areas have been easy and some are more challenging or more interesting to you guys. Anybody got thoughts? Jaden?
So with that story idea that I talked about earlier, some of the dreams that I've had that are hyper-realistic are kind of hard to depict in art, like visual art. So I'm currently trying to figure out how to like character design certain things because every time I try to draw it, it's like not coming together correctly. So I'll figure it out. So yeah, that's one difficult thing.
I personally, I think video helps with some of that. Like I like to, that's why I always say multidisciplinary because sculpture is such a loaded thing. But recently I've been doing this thing where, because I was always curious when I would explain my dreams to other people, like how they were translating them. And so everybody has this big division with the AI thing, like you either love it or you hate it. But I think it's an interesting tool. So I've been telling AI my dreams and letting it try to like show me what it thought that I dreamed, and then making sculptures from that. And it's been pretty interesting because it's just another way to get feedback from another thing that's trying to decipher what I'm telling it. So
that is so cool.
It's very cool.
Wow.
I would like to do that.
Ulrika, I feel like, you know, your artwork so beautifully captured some of those hypnagogic hallucination, you know, experiences. So I guess I'm kind of curious if you find, you know, visual arts would be more challenging to capture different parts of the experience, or?
It's like Jonathan and Silent said, it's the making something conscious or creating like unconscious, because the when I go to my studio, I want to be the person I was before. Narcolepsy is doesn't I in my emotions say narcolepsy has no relation to my art. But then, of course, the thoughtful side says everything is related to narcolepsy. I choose these bright colors to match the dark side or the dark sides. I choose the big canvases. I have these big brushes because I'm always running behind the time. The time is my, I always have to schedule everything. Like tonight, 7 o'clock, I have to count back. When do I sleep? When do I eat? When do I this, that? And sometimes when I'm in a flow, I can panic because I look at the clock and I know when my first sleeping time is. And if I don't hold that, the whole day will not function. And then I have to quickly finish something. And sometimes the painting gets totally destroyed. Sometimes it can be something really special. I have this friend who works with me, and she sometimes comes and says, Ulrike, stop. This painting is fine. Stop, just stop. And if I don't, yeah, it can be a total mess. But the other day, I really had a bad day. I just went to the studio to do something, and she asked me, "What are you going to paint today?" And I said, "Nothing. Maybe some squirrels." And it took me 15 minutes, and I painted 2 squirrels on this 1 meter canvas. 2 1-meter canvas in 15 minutes, and they were ready. They were, you know, nothing to add. And then I'm like, wow, it just comes out of me. It's like putting it on the canvas, and that's amazing. I think I try to use my condition. Sometimes it's like, now I see what happens. But I also have to de-romanticize this being an artist, because there are so many other aspects to, if it's a business, if it's a job, you have to do your finance, your public relations, your networking, your everything. There's always too little time. That's what squeezes me here. But I learned to deal with it.
I think that's so powerful. I hear 2 things there that really resonate with me, and I imagine with other people, even that aren't artists, is somewhat accepting the flow of creativity, and then also how that fits in with the structure of narcolepsy, and that turning away from things at certain points, and maybe the painting is done, but maybe you want to keep going, but then knowing like that you have to stop and take your medicine. And then also just, I am curious people's thoughts about the idea of finishing something, because I do feel that when you have less maybe overall energy, that we have certain bursts of creativity possibly, but then sometimes those fade or wakeful, and maybe the creativity doesn't, but the wakefulness does. And that can add up and possibly give people a sense of like they're not able to finish things. They start projects, but maybe don't finish. And you know, you guys have just showed such beautiful art, but I don't know if you guys have, you know, so that everyone knows that maybe everyone sort of feels like that at times. There are things that you guys have felt like, you know, projects that have been half done or certain things you've just, I don't know, maybe that's, but I do think that would probably resonate with people if there are any examples.
I have, I could make this exhibition of unfinished paintings. It's like, I think I have 80, 90 unfinished. But what I do is I paint with acrylic colors that dry very fast. So I just paint over and over. And I had a few paintings which were weighing really, they were so heavy because there were like 5, 6 paintings underneath. So I just go over them. But I don't know if that was the answer to the question, but there are many things that are kind of never being finished. Generally in life, but also in my projects. But I learned to be happy with things I finish. You know, I have this list, and if it's just one, what do you say? I can be satisfied or happy.
I like that idea of the gallery of unfinished work. You know, there are some fun especially out here in LA, I think there's like a gallery of torture, a gallery of, you know, died love. He's like, we can do a gallery of unfinished work, raise awareness about narcolepsy. But it's part of the experience, but not the full. But thank you for sharing that, because I know that can be something that maybe people feel like it's, you know, they're not good enough. But I know one thing for me, a recent project, I decided to write a film script, which I'd never done before. And a little bit of, I made it a social thing for myself of sharing it with other people. I had to share it. And it kind of became a social. And so it wasn't just me alone. And then if I didn't finish it, but I was like, I really want to prove I can, you know, to some friends. And so that, I don't know if that's a good motivation or not, but it did help me finish at least the first draft.
I was just going to say that for me, experimentation is really crucial, because a lot of times you have this idea in your head and no matter what you do, it doesn't translate the way that you want it. You don't see it the same. It's just not the same thing. So I try to focus on the idea of what I'm doing and just do different versions of it or play with like different materials. And the more I experiment, the more the art starts to take on a life of its own. And I start to create things that I didn't expect that are way better than anything I could have intentionally created. So I think that the art is, in a weird way, like creating itself at the same time. So I think like trusting in the experimentation. And I used to do that thing where I was like, it's not done. Is it done? Is it not done? Like, I would panic. And I like the way I work now because there's no expectations. Because it's hard. I'm never going to accomplish what I think I'm going to accomplish. And sometimes that's better.
And I think the experimentation, I think that's a good point to make about narcolepsy too, is that experimentation is probably necessary for a lot of people, that you're not going to find the right thing all at once, you know, the right treatment or the right solution for you, or it might take a while.
But then when you get it, it's beautiful.
Okay. Well, I'm over here having chills and goosebumps, I think is the word, goosebumps and tearing up, because I think that is just such a powerful way of thinking about it. I think all of life, if we could think of it more of an experiment, both narcolepsy, everything, art, it lends itself to much more play. And like you said, silence, like no expectations, or hopefully lowering expectations of what that means. Yeah, that just really, really resonates with me. All right. Well, I guess my last question, which again, I did not prepare you guys for, so if you don't want to say anything, that's fine. But I was just wondering if you had any advice for any young artists or people with narcolepsy that, you know, want to get more into art, if there's any sort of advice or mantra that you would share with them.
I'm always going to have things to say. I'm sorry about that. Get rid of your expectations. I think, like, just didn't want to bring up the pandemic, but I think one thing that the pandemic like taught me was to slow down, to get to know yourself. Don't try to fit into anybody else's box. It's those things that you probably don't like about yourself that are really special that other people will like about you. And don't try to make everything perfect.
And I just want to add, I totally agree with you, Silence. And just want to add that you can make an impact despite or because of your condition. It's just that you have to learn to put that internal inside of you. This meaning means a lot to me. I myself, now I'm 50 years old, but I learned that only a short while ago, that, you know, when you have dreams and the dreams are shattered, then you have to find new dreams. You have to get back that strength, but it doesn't come overnight. It took quite a long time, but I understand I can make an impact, and this is my goal. This is what I want to do. I want my own marathon. Julie, you're my biggest role model, running a marathon, and I want to have my own marathon, and I will have it. It's not running; it's something else. So it's despite or because you can.
I agree with what Silence said about not being perfect, because I struggle with perfectionism for some reason. So I need to take that to heart. I should hold out a bit. But I would say to not try to be like anybody else, because I dive more into like my own passions and inner, you know, inner struggles and my emotions. And it seems like if I tried to be anybody else than myself, then it wouldn't feel right. Like I wouldn't feel fulfilled as an artist, and kind of like the whole point wouldn't matter anymore. So just stay true to your passions, I guess.
Jonathan, any final thoughts?
No, I wish I want to be helpful, but I don't. I wish I had some advice, but.
Well, if anyone's looking to create a green room, a dark room in their house, we're going to send them your way. How about that?
Yeah. Well, certainly don't let, I guess any hobby can be expensive, but don't let that hold you back from doing what you want to do, because there's always, there's always secondhand equipment that you can get. There's always rentals. I mean, you don't always have to have the newest or the best. Whatever helps you get started in expressing yourself, there are always options.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for this. This has been amazing. Really, really meaningful and so, so special. So I hope the discussion is just beginning and we've inspired more people to talk about art and creativity. I know I'm excited to continue pursuing things. I think I'm going to dig out those pictures of eyes I was developing and go back to them. And just really grateful for your time and your energy today. And I hope everyone has a good nap after this, or Ulrika, a good night's sleep.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys again for sharing. We'd just like to remind everyone of all the great organizations, the Hypersomnia Foundation, and Narcolepsy Network, Project Sleep, that's us, and Wake Up Narcolepsy. And there are wonderful international organizations, and we do have, 31 of them listed now on the World Narcolepsy Day page. So please get in contact and check out all of their great efforts as well. And just again, thank you everybody for tuning in today. And please sign up for our Nerd Alert e-updates on our website. We will have a toolkit coming out soon. And check out also, we have podcasts about past episodes on our website, project-sleep.com. So just a big thanks again, everybody. And rest well. And we'll see you next time.
The Project Sleep Podcast is produced by Carver Sound Productions. For more information on podcast production services, visit carversoundproductions.com.